This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very good morning to the entire world. This is BFM 89.9. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, 14th of February 2020, which means that I'm with Wong Shaoning, first of all. And secondly, that it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, my dear.
Same to you, Chuang. Are you celebrating today or are you...
I've been celebrating since 12:01 in the morning and I'll be celebrating until 11:59 tonight.
Well done. You kind of surprised me. I thought you were like the, you know, the kind of like, oh, what a rubbish commercial holiday.
I'm a hopeless romantic, lah, my dear.
Really?
Actually, no.
I thought you were a realistic cheap Chinaman. Sorry.
Actually, I am that. I just like to think I'm a hopeless romantic, but actually I'm not. Actually, what is the definition of a hopeless romantic?
I don't know. I suppose someone who always believes that love is going to come around. I don't know.
And that love is true and fair, right?
Yeah, and that love will ultimately win the day.
When did that cross, you know, that inflection point come for you? When you realized that love is not the pure form that you thought it was in the books?
Probably after your first heart gets broken. I think that's when you realize that love isn't exactly what it is supposed to be.
And then
in your mind, you know?
Yes, but we shouldn't tell the young folk that because
it's depressing on Valentine's Day. We should be optimists.
Well, I'm going to tell everybody out there who is up at 6 o'clock in the morning listening to us that love is pure, love is true, and you should go and find your true love out there because I think there is someone out there for you specifically. And never give up. Even at 65 years old, you can find love.
Yeah, I know there are these charming stories about people who like find love at 60, 70, 80, or find love again.
I've heard many stories about how like maybe their spouses have disappeared or gone off or divorced or passed away.
Yes.
And then at the ripe old age of 75, they find true love in the strangest circumstances. Sometimes they're 40 years younger. Sometimes they're of the same gender. Sometimes they just become life partners and they never get married.
That is true. I mean, love is a many splendid thing, right?
It is. It is. So does it form the one of the subjects of your conversation with us today?
Yes, we're going to be talking about a few things. Sadly, we're also going to be talking about life's regrets. What do you think? Well, today is a day of contemplation, right? I mean, it's a day of love, but maybe also you think about, hey, what's going on in my life? So we'll be talking about what is the top 5 regrets in UK? And then a completely irrelevant topic, but interesting nonetheless, is about reading, right? Because we're also talking about joy, and reading is a joy today. I mean, reading is a joy. But the question is, what do you read? And how do you read it? Has that changed over the years?
Well, of course, I'm going to go the romantic route and I'm going to be talking about Valentine's Day and how it's being celebrated in a very remote country and all that and more to come on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the Stevie Wonder, the Motown legend with I Was Made to Love Her. And I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Shaoning. And of course, we are on Valentine's Day, hence the soppy, syrupy love songs. And henceforth, the stories on Valentine's Day. And did you know, Wong Shaoning, that in Japan, Valentine's Day is celebrated very differently?
Yes.
But the history is not like the gory, bloody days in Europe where how Valentine's Day started. Japan had their Valentine's Day start in the 1950s by a chocolate company. A very clever chocolate company. Maybe it was Willy Wonka himself who started this company. The company wanted a profit from this event in time. And they linked Valentine's Day with giving chocolates. And I think in Japan now, if you're the guy, you've got to give chocolates to the girl and it's got to be white chocolates. And you can't forget your colleagues as well.
No, so I thought it's it's the girl giving the guy.
Well, you can give it both ways, right?
But in Japan, this is called White Day. Men, okay. So if I'm not wrong, the women give it first and then the men give it back.
Oh, yes, like that. Okay,
and then they must give it back threefold.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so 3 times the cost.
So imagine if you had a chocolate company. You're making huge profits on one.
Yeah, this is the smartest ever chocolate company. Seriously. They create this whole holiday. I'll call it a holiday, right? And what do you want them to do? You just want them to buy as much chocolate as possible so you make as much profit as possible.
This is called indoctrination 101.
Yeah, yes, and then you know what? You cover it under the guise of love.
Right.
You do this because you love someone.
You know who's the biggest criminal in this? And I don't want to be like all, cynical here. But Tiffany's, right? Was it Tiffany or De Beers? Was it De Beers? And diamonds.
Three times your salary or something like that. Or yeah. twice your monthly
De Beers.
Salary. Yeah.
Is it South African?
Yeah, South African, yeah.
My goodness, they have done such an amazing job of linking diamonds with Valentine's. In fact, love, right? If you love me, you got to give me a diamond.
Which is true. I so believe in that. Which woman's going to say no to a diamond?
Well, that's the thing, see. So I've actually done some diamond shopping in my life, right?
Wow.
Not often. And then there's VVSS and then VVV. And
yeah,
then,
yeah,
what,
yeah.
What is
and
all
then
that?
A and D. It's like the clarity, the quality and the cut.
Ah, and then there's queen cut, emperor cut and
yes,
things like
princess
that, right?
cut.
Princess cut, that's
yeah.
right.
Heart shape. I know too much, Chuang, but I've never been given a diamond, sadly.
that's the thing. It's very nice.
I only know it in theory.
Don't blush.
Theory only, sadly.
So how does Malaysians spend Valentine's? Is there a cultural norm, do you think, in Malaysia?
I don't think so. I don't think if you just base on what we watch on TV or what we read, the developed world or the Western world kind of celebrates it with flowers, chocolate, dinner. That's quite typical. And
Malaysia,
a gift.
Malaysia,
you are lucky, like your boyfriend take you to the corner coffee shop. You have
don't
a bit of,
like that, like.
Okay, my version would probably be like some corner Tai Chow, you know? Because you don't want to go to some restaurant and pay the premium, right? What's the point?
Well, that's because we know what's what nowadays, right?
Yeah.
You and I, okay? But if you're in the early 20s, say you're in the early flushes of love, right?
Yes.
How do you demonstrate your love for one another?
Well, I think
and you should.
I think, and it's not only just on Valentine's Day, right? I mean, realistically, you should show your love every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
It's a 365, 24/7 thing.
But maybe you can choose one day to kind of take it a notch up. Why not?
I think you should. I think you should. And why not, right?
Yes. But I would be like, you know, come on, don't spend excessive money because there's no point. And love isn't always, you know, equivalent to how much you spend.
It's unfortunately, though, we do link it sometimes.
We do, but actually effort counts for more, I would think.
Okay, did you know that there's 5 kinds of love languages in the world?
No.
Well, I mean, so they say, lah, right?
Oh,
so one category would be, for example, if you show, if there's a lot of physical, hugging and kissing and all that,
uh-huh.
that's one love language.
Okay.
Another love language is if you do things for people.
I like the second one the most.
Do you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
If you like, for example, to be served breakfast in bed,
okay.
then I will do, or for example, if you
I'd
do
rather
another,
you mop the floor, but never mind.
Right, so if mopping the floor is your daily yeah. chore, then someone does it for you. That shows that they love you.
Yes.
Then the
yes.
third language, I think, compliments, right?
Okay.
Compliments, right?
All right.
Then the fourth and fifth, I can't remember.
it's true.
Yeah. Quality time spent with you is another one. Shaz has just told us. Shaz is our producer.
Yeah, the smart one in the room.
The smart one in the room, yes.
Yes, and now, what is it? Gifts, apparently, is another
yes,
thing.
Yes, gifts is the other one, right? So if I give you things. So everybody's got a love language, right? So if you figure it out, and then that's how you deliver it to your...
Partner. Okay.
Then you're sorted.
It's true, actually. We are motivated by different things. And what we deem as love is different in our minds,
correct.
So, yeah, it probably will be problematic if I have one version of love and you have another and then we don't communicate that.
Yeah, right. So
because
it's
all about expectations, right? I expect gifts. I expect words of attention and you don't give that to me. I'll be sorely disappointed.
So, yeah. So if I'm the kind who likes a lot of like kisses and hugs and all that... But you give me a Rolex. I'm not going to complain, though.
Neither would I. Rolex goes to Trump.
Yeah.
You have such high standards. Like.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, just to go back to Japan, I think there's some strange, and at the risk of generalization, right? Because we know Japan is a little bit off-piste. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
They got a KFC for Christmas, and that's the tradition.
Really?
And I think that's what KFC have done. They've indoctrinated this whole issue of Christmas with kids.
And by the way, you've got to give
chicken.
Chocolates to your bosses also. On
also
Valentine's.
To your chocolates, right?
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how easily indoctrinated human beings can be.
Yes. And unfortunately, Valentine's Day is a bit commercial.
So on that bombshell, something to consider. Don't go away. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Girls by Heartbreaker. No, Heartbreaker by Girls. What a lovely track.
Or Valentine's Day.
Just warms the cockles of your heart, doesn't it? That's what love is, right? Love is all about falling in and then falling out of love. That's what happens.
And then hopefully finding it again.
Exactly. Or sometimes people fall in and then they never leave. And then, it's, you know, I've met kids who have been, or not kids, people who have been married for 65 years It's the same girl they were with in high school. How cool is that, right?
That's my parents, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
How amazing.
Yeah.
How amazing.
I think you're very lucky if you find somebody, you know, very early in your life, and then you're just happy together.
Yeah.
Then you build a family, you grow old together, and it's very touching. My parents are very touching.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But then it doesn't always happen for everybody that way, right? Everybody, not everybody in the world has a fable, you know, like an Aesop's fable life. And in the UK, they've done a study, right? And, you know, these things happen all the time, these studies by the NHS or whatever. Well, in this particular case, Morta, this consumer research company, they talked to a bunch of old people, right? Then they asked them.
But it's very funny. This survey is done in partnership with KP Nuts.
KP Nuts. Oh, I love KP Nuts. They're fantastic.
I don't know why the nuts company is involved in the regrets, but is it because you eat too many?
Maybe geriatrics spend all their time in front of the TV and then they just like consume tons of nuts.
I think it's more like you ate too much nuts and then you just feel like, oh, I feel very fat. I shouldn't be eating so much of it. But anyway.
Well, be that as it may, they asked this bunch of geriatrics what their top five regrets in life were, right? And there were five things, okay? So I'll let you reel off the first one.
Okay. Not saving more when younger. Regret number one.
Not saving more when younger. What happens if you're today's person and there's not enough to save anyway?
Well, yeah, I think that is a real challenge for, I think, Gen Z and also millennials.
Worldwide,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, worldwide, because cost of living is very high. You can't get onto, you can't even buy your first property. And if you could, it would be very far away or could be very, very small.
Actually, to which I would reply, there's a lot of sacrifices you can make. You don't have to go to Starbucks for coffee.
Yeah, you can just drink the free office coffee.
You don't have to call GrabFood, mate. You can just go to the Tai Chau, right?
You can walk across the street and buy the food from the, you know, the garai. Or you can make your own breakfast.
Exactly, right? Mm. Number two, not taking the plunge in a romance.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
So again, there's two sides to the coin, right? Mm.
Some people, I think you maybe sometimes you need to listen to your inner voice. And sometimes the inner voice tells you not to go for it.
And
maybe
it's not consistent with what your mum says, right?
Yeah.
So imagine you fell in love with a guy who looks really cool, who's got a tattoo and who's an artist, yeah?
Mm.
And then at the same time, there's another guy who's after you. He's from Stanford. He's taking his final year of law, right?
Yeah. And
who
you
go for?
Oh, well, I'm the practical Chinese woman, right?
Well,
so go
right?
figure.
But I know...
But actually, I would choose the one that loves me more.
How'd you know? At 21, how would you
know? Sometimes you can just tell. The one that pays you more attention, that cares for you more, thinks of you more. You know, I think you should go for the one that loves you more. Because that might mean there will be longevity in the relationship.
Yeah, and sometimes the other kind, they know they've got it, right?
Yeah.
And therefore they
I'm hoping that the longevity, the one who loves me more, is also the one at Stanford doing law and is going to be partnered at 35.
32? 32?
Sorry,
not 35.
32. Sorry,
too
sorry.
Old.
Sorry.
Number three.
Not keeping in touch with old friends. You missed one, Chuang, by the way.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Sorry. You see, that's what...
That's anyway. What age does
that's
to you.
That's what it does,
okay.
Yeah.
Not keeping in touch with old friends. Is that one I like.
I think that's nice.
Yes.
In fact, I've got too many of these WhatsApp groups now. School from my classmates from 1985 and... You
but
know, all these things,
actually, that's what social
friends.
Media has been so great about.
It's good, right?
Yes,
fantastic.
In that sense. I mean, we complain about privacy. We complain that we spend so much time on it, which is true. It's all true. But it's great because we can hook up with people that we kind of lost along the way.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can see your primary school friends, which I have. And then you're like, wow, you know, time has passed. But it's just nice, like, it's like with one link you can meet, you can like hook up with like 3, 4, 5. And before you know it, there's like 30 of you.
Or you can even be in touch with what's happening in their life.
Even though they're around the world.
Yeah. Or be vicariously, that's right, yeah.
And most of them are, you know, it's like there are some people in Australia, some people in UK, Singapore. But it doesn't seem like as if we're that far anymore when with social media.
Correct. Number four. Not traveling when life involved fewer responsibilities.
Oh, this one I so agree.
Big thing. Huge
I
thing.
So agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem about traveling is that you do need a certain level, usually a certain level of fitness.
Yeah.
And if you get older.
That's right, when you get more money in your pocket. And then the irony is that you can't do the hike in Nepal anymore. Do you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, because it's just too much. It's too tiring. You know, it's bad on your joints. So, yeah, you know, maybe this is the part. This is the one where I say when you're younger, just enjoy the traveling. And also, you see the world differently when you're younger and when you're older.
Correct. Different prism.
Yeah.
Number five, not pursuing the better paid job. Why? Because it was more boring? Because you just didn't want to take the risk and the plunge? You should do, right?
Mm. Well, I wonder whether...
I think there's a proposition there.
You think so?
I think this
one I struggle with a little bit, you know, because is the better paying job always the better of a job?
Okay, so to be constructive about this all, Now that we've done these five things, right? Do you wonder why the Gen Ys are why they are? Gen Zs. They've learned from us. They're doing these things now.
That
do you know what I mean?
That is true.
Okay. On that note, Give Me All 11 by ZZ Top, BFM 89.9. Good morning. This is BFM 89.9. I'm Chuang, joined by Shaoning, and this is Valentine's Day. In case you were wondering what the song earlier was, it was Rita and the Tiaras with Gone with the Wind Is My Love. Fantastic song. Very Motown-ish. So anyway, our fine Prime Minister in his vintage, 95 years old now. I think 95 years old, right? Yep.
Yeah.
95 years old in May, I think.
And well, you had a breakfast grill with him.
I did.
And he was just incredibly sharp, right?
He was sharper than 95% of the people in this country.
It's like sharper than a samurai sword.
Sharper than two samurai swords. Well, anyway, he's been in the news recently. In fact, yesterday he was in Bangi talking about how Malaysia, he wants to transform Malaysia into a reading country in 10 years' time. But he's also lamenting the demise of the reading habit because of the internet age. He's saying that people are reading newspapers and books less because of the digital media. But he said that people are not reading less, they're just reading on different platforms, such as on the internet and on tablets and on phones. The difference is that in the internet age, the news and the information you consume may not be as accurate as it used to be in the past because there's a lot of potential for fake news.
Yeah, which is true.
So that's where he sees the information age right now.
Well, I would somewhat agree and disagree with him because I think that, the internet is great. It has revolutionized reading. It has also meant that basically there's less chance for propaganda, shall I put it that way, because you have alternative sources at the touch of your fingertips.
I would actually beg to differ.
Right.
I think there's too many avenues for propaganda now, and in the end of the day, you don't know what's what. That's the problem.
You think so? But then wouldn't
let's
you...
Just take the let's just take the coronavirus, right? Mm. Was it accidentally created by the Chinese labs as suggested by some media? Is it as accurate in terms of casualties and infections as China is suggesting? Is it true that America was the one who propagated this disease? Is it true that Indonesia has no cases? Is it true that Malaysia has this few cases? You don't know. You see, that's the problem, right?
Well, I think it also depends on how you consume the news. What is your habits. The problem or the issue is if you tend to want to only read a certain kind of media, and that actually the online creates that, facilitates that, because you can, let's say you're an American and you are very pro-Trump, you're very pro his point of view, then yes, you can actually just go to those 5, 10, 20 websites, right, and continue to feed the notion or continue to dwell on what you think is the real news, the real politics out there. Or you can opt to be someone that chooses to read a variety of news sources. So there's two ways about it, right? You can either go down the rabbit hole that you really want to go down and don't go and look at anything else.
And therein lies an echo chamber.
Yes. Or you can opt to read a variety of information.
Which is what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But the problem is the source. Is the source accurate or not? That's the problem, you see.
Yeah, which is why I think sometimes you do need to go back, to, I would say, credible newspapers.
Okay,
right?
so that's news and information, but then there's also fiction, right?
Yes.
And then I think that the habit of reading fiction, I think, diminishes when you're in the working world.
Yes.
Where you've got much less time to read your favourite authors as when you did when you were a teenager or a student. I foresee myself reading all my favourite authors when I, work less.
Yeah,
which is what everybody's hoping to do, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when in a day, there's 24 hours. We spend two-thirds of it in the office, one-third of it outside.
And then having meetings or whatever.
Yeah, and then the one-third is juggling family, juggling just the chores of daily life, which leaves you very little time. Maybe if you're lucky, for me, I would have 15, 20 minutes before I sleep to read something that I really enjoy. And even then, I usually don't have that precious time. So yeah, the other thing I noticed that with, internet or even like the phone or, things like that or iPad is that I'm now, I don't know bad, well, is a good thing or bad thing, but I am now used to very what I call short reads versus long reads.
Yeah, same.
Right?
Yeah.
So the information given to me is like quick, quick, quick. I just click, I read this 10 paras and that's it. I don't have this kind of patience anymore and also time to read, I would say, longer articles and something that I can almost kind of enjoy, because I'm just like, okay, quick, I need this info. And then sometimes it's bad because I think it doesn't, I don't pause to reflect so much.
Yeah, so actually scientists in Cambridge and University and Oxford University, they've done studies. Actually, they've discovered that in like half a generation, people's brains have become rewired to shorter attention spans. You know how like in the old days you can read like, you know, books with like 2,000 words, 2,000 pages or 1,000 pages? Like James Michener, you know James Michener, Hawaii, you know, you know, right? Those books are like 900 pages long. And I used to get them done, get it all read in like a week. Very fast. Nowadays, my goodness, if I read more than 10 pages, I'm like...
You're lost, right?
Cannot really.
Yeah,
cannot.
You don't have the attention, that focus.
Yeah.
So sometimes maybe it does make sense when you have this, I would say, digital detox. You put away your phone.
You just go away.
So that you then, you know, you read the magazines that you used to read. You know, there's some of the more...
Well, you see, that's anathema to the young person. Well, if you try and tell a 15-year-old kid to get rid of his phone for like a week, he'll go blue in his face, right? Or her face.
Well, I would confess I also would struggle, you know. I think I am
I would
also
love nothing more than get rid of that.
Really?
Silly device. Yeah, I can't wait to get rid of the device.
Well, good one. Try Chuang and tell us how it is.
Well, because I've been excellent at social media, I've completely forgotten to tell you to tell us what you think and to send us your messages. So Twitter is the handle, is at BFM Radio, and the WhatsApp is at 018-789-8899. Tell us what you think about Valentine's Day or celebrating the Valentine's or even how your reading habits have changed over time. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the Postal Service with Such Great Heights. Must be talking about some people's love for one another.
Hopefully they didn't fall from great heights though.
Didn't fall from great heights.
Their hearts didn't crush.
That's right. So we've been inundated with messages from the listening public.
You see the world out there.
John Fu has written to us about our Valentine's Day discussion earlier near 6 o'clock, suggesting quite eruditely that a hookup in America would mean a completely different thing with a big smiley emoji.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments, John.
And then Mohan weighed in on about reading and he says, OMG, you guys are so right. I can't do prolonged reading, like you say. Quick reading is creeping into me nowadays, like reading newspapers, headlines. That's it. I get the big whole picture, you know. And then he says, I bet you didn't read my message in full. We did. That was a trick one.
Yeah. Well, KY Ho has said that the news and internet is a double-edged sword. Broke government's monopoly and control on information control. But it also enabled anyone and everyone to broadcast rumours, which is correct.
True.
Like everything in life, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't say, okay, freedom of press or freedom of the internet for one group and not for the other group. It doesn't kind of work, right?
Okay, Ro is in the back of the picture. He said, "Day, a lot of Malaysians don't know it's Valentine's Day, especially the men."
Well, when they get home, their wives will remember that, remind them
not
of their girlfriends.
Valentine's is a very Western thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is. Yeah. But it's also, I find, younger people celebrate it.
Yeah, I guess because they are, I don't know, to be a bit more cynical, they're a bit more... I don't know, flush in the early throes of love. Who knows, right?
Who knows?
But
why
it's good.
Not?
It's good to be in love. Better to be in love than to be at war, isn't it?
Well, better to be... Sometimes I think it's better to be kind of innocent and naive rather than cynical and critical.
Exactly, man. That's what Steve Jobs said. He said, always stay naive, don't you? Didn't he, right?
Yes.
Before he demised, shuffled off this mortal coil. Okay, I've got the New Straits Times in front of me. And we, of course, have a very interesting headline. Page 2 of the NST actually talks about how there's this Malaysian student named Helen. Came back to Malaysia for Christmas holidays, then went back to her place in Perth. Her landlord had evicted her.
Oh, yeah.
Taped a message on the note, changed the locks, couldn't get in. And they said, well, because you made the difficult decision to go back to Asia to see your parents, we are now concerned that you might have contracted the virus and therefore you're no longer welcome back in the cells. Apparently, they tried to send her messages. She didn't read them or she couldn't read them or whatever. And she was shocked. So she went on Radio ABC in Australia to talk about a problem. And now it's become a bit of a thing in Australia.
Yeah, I can imagine. It
would be, right? You come all the way back, you don't have a place to stay.
Also, does it kind of smack a little bit of like discrimination?
There is.
I mean, they're kind of using a bit of a broad stroke to say that everyone who has gone to Asia has got COVID-19.
That's right. And even though she's never travelled to China. So right next to this piece on page 2 in the NST, the column, which is unattributed to anybody in particular, talks about Sinophobia. And I think that's basically fear of phobia of people from China or Chinese people.
Yeah, apparently like in Europe, there are some restaurants that, like, you know, very unfriendly if you're Asian looking.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, then before that, there was, of course, Islamophobia and there's, you know, whatever.
Okay, on the Malaysian Reserve, on a story related somewhat to COVID-19, the headline is Malacca's tourist footfall drops, thousands of bookings cancelled. I mean, the state government now has to hatch up plans that could divert the focus to other markets, including Indonesia, Brunei and Saudi Arabia. I think at the end of the day, you know, you can do what you want, but if people are nervous, they're just not going to travel. It doesn't matter where they're from. You know, it's not just the Chinese that are not traveling. I think everyone just kind of opts out because it's discretionary, right?
Well, exactly.
And you want to go on holiday to relax, not to be worried whether you can come back home. Like, imagine that cruise liner that is going round Asia looking for a place to dock and finally, I think, hopefully can dock in Cambodia. It must be a nightmare for the people trapped on this cruise.
It is.
Because it's a holiday, but, you know, it's like, can you get off? Where do you get off? And apparently they're running out of food, so it can't be great, right?
Anyway, there's this other article in the Star, but in front of me, other than the usual bump on the coronavirus and Valentine's Day, there's also page five, about how this guy lost $65,000 ringgit in an online scam. And it's just...
There's so many of them. It's terrible. I know on the Financial Daily, the headline is Anwar meets PM on transition. Transfer of power to be finalised at February 21st Pakatan Heads meeting. That's the headline, and then there's another story of it on page two. But we're going to be discussing some of this at the 7 to 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, of course, the page one of the Star discussing something very similar, playing the PM numbers game. Apparently, there's a huge hoo-ha about the Prime Minister staying back, and there's declarations suggesting that he should, and there's a bit of a kerfuffle about that all over now. But we'll be discussing that. But before we go, I just want to read out your Valentine's Day message, Shaunim, from Anne. She's wishing you specifically Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Anne. I hope you have a lovely day too.
Okay, after this, we're going to come back with the serious stuff, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.